The Jewish people all over the world are right now experiencing, obviously, something very, very challenging. And there's a word that's being used a lot, the word trauma, that I want to try and offer a little bit of perspective around, because I think that there is a danger in using this word the way that it is often being used, unintentionally, in a way that can actually have more problematic effects than positive ones. I think it's important that the word is used here and there, and that it is being spoken of, because there are people who are going to experience the experience of becoming traumatized by this situation, as I'm going to try and explain what that means. And we want to normalize that. We want to allow those people to be able to seek the help and the support that they need to be able to address that, and to be able to, God willing, heal from that in the right way. And so acknowledging the existence of people becoming traumatized and experiencing the trauma is a very important part. However, there's a very big difference between becoming traumatized from something, what we would sometimes clinically call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, versus experiencing trauma. And that's the distinction that I want to emphasize and I want to try and explain. These words and these terms are semantics, so different people can use them in different ways, and there might be people that would use them or mean have different intention than the way I'm going to explain. But I think it's very important to try and understand these terms, because we want to really try and use them in the way that's most helpful and productive as possible. So what does it mean to experience trauma? And then what does it mean to become traumatized, to experience PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder? Trauma means the following in the way that I understand it. Trauma is when there is a threat to a person's system, to a person's safety. The nervous system in a person, their most fundamental physiological response is going to have three possible states of being, that we exist in three possible ways. Either what's called the ventral vagal, which means that we are socially engaged, we're regulated, we feel safe, and we feel present. However, when there's a threat to that, when there's danger that's presented to that ventral vagal social engagement regulated way of being in this world, when we feel that things are safe, when there's a threat such as what many of us, all of us, are experiencing on some level right now, we have a variety of different reactions. One, which is called fight flight, which means that we're either going to become charged up to fight or charged up to flee. That's when we have a release of all sorts of adrenaline. We have a release in our body that creates a lot of activation, a lot of energy. We become mobilized to do something, and we have a lot of intensity that rushes through our body, which is giving us all the things we need in order to respond appropriately. Sometimes the system is so overwhelmed by the threat to its safety, it does not know how to respond at all, and therefore the fight-flight response feels almost irrelevant, because I can't fight and I can't flee. And so in order to deal with this, the attack on my safety, the threat to my stability, in a way that will allow me to feel as safe as possible, since I can't fight and I can't flee, we go into what's called freeze. This is when we completely shut down. We become immobilized. So I'm not fighting. I'm not running. Instead, I become a deer in headlights. I just freeze up. I become sometimes in an extreme form what would be called dissociation. This is when we have a certain level of denial. And I become almost in an extreme form, it can be that I play dead, or it could be that I almost zoom out of my situation, even if I'm there physically, but it's almost as if I'm not there. I become washed over. I can have that blank look. I can be in a state of denial, and I become frozen. Now, any of these things exist on a spectrum. It's not all or nothing. We oscillate between them. We move between them. We go from regulation into fight, back into regulation, into freeze, back into flee, back into fight, back into regulation. We move in and out of these things, and they don't necessarily have to be in an extreme. They can be in subtle ways. Sometimes they are in extreme ways. Trauma means that when I'm in a situation in which there is an active threat, when I'm experiencing an active threat, I'm going to respond to that threat by my system moving out of the regulated state and going into either fight, flight, or freeze. That is not a problem. That is actually a good thing. That's how we survive. That's a very good thing. So the fact that I have activation to fight or to do something, I have activation to run or to do something, or I have activation even to go into a state of avoidance, a state of dissociating, a state of trying to numb some of the fear, some of the feelings, some of the activation. Those are survival techniques. When the threat is in front of me, when there is an actual situation of peril, when there's an actual situation that is unsafe, it makes perfect sense to do any one of those things. And those things are actually there to equip us and provide us with the responses that we need in order to deal with the situation. That is what it means to be in a state of trauma. All of that, obviously, it's not a good thing to be in trauma, but all of that is a good thing. That is the way that Hashem, that God created us to be able to respond and react appropriately and according to the situation that is in front of us. That when things are safe and stable, we can be in that ventral vagal state. We can be in that engaged, regulated, stable state. And when things are not stable in that way, not safe in that way, we have the resources within ourselves to respond accordingly by fighting, by fleeing, or by freezing. All of that is trauma. When a person responds to a threat in any one of those ways, and their system actually allows for the full expression of their fight response, or of their flee response, or even, this is a bit more complicated, maybe even of their freeze response, although there, again, not as much, and you'll understand why in a moment. When the system responds appropriately and accordingly to whatever is in front of it, and there's a full expression of that trauma response, that person does not afterwards need to be traumatized. So if someone would barge into this room right now, unexpectedly, I would have a trauma reaction. If I would respond to that in a way that my body produces the energy and the activation that it needs in order to mobilize me to respond appropriately, and I address the situation, and then the situation is resolved, and I take a moment, and I'm able afterwards to then allow my system to integrate and reintegrate and reorient to the current reestablishment of safety, and I'm able to release all of that activation that came up within me. It got used. It was produced, and it was used for what it was produced for. And then I reorient myself to safety. So if all of that happens, I moved through the trauma, and I now come out the other side, and I'm not traumatized. To be traumatized means that I'm no longer in a state where there is trauma, but I'm still stuck in the trauma response. That's why it's called post-traumatic stress disorder. If a person is in a fight response when there's someone who's attacking them, that's good. They should be in that response. What we don't want is that in the long term, when that threat is no longer there, the person is either externally or internally still like this. That's post-traumatic stress disorder, which is that I'm still responding in a trauma response, even if the trauma isn't actually in front of me anymore. It isn't actually active anymore. It's not there. But my system is frozen in the trauma response. So trauma is fine. Of course, we don't want trauma. The trauma response is fine. It's not just fine. It's actually good. It's a strength that God gave us to adapt and to survive. Being traumatized is what happens. Why does it happen? It happens when the trauma response gets stuck. Why does a trauma response get stuck? Because when the body produces a response to address a threat or to address a trauma, and then is unable to allow for the full expression or manifestation of that response, oftentimes because we try rationalizing away the threat in our mind, and we don't allow the physiological response to run its course, or because we feel helpless and hopeless in being able to respond, and therefore we have the freeze response that overrides the fight-flight response. And so we have all this activation that comes up in our body because of the fight-flight response, but then our helplessness or hopelessness creates a freeze response which comes and clamps down on the activation, but the activation is still there. It's still there. It's just stuck in the system now. It got produced in order to respond, but then our own helplessness or hopelessness holds it back. or our own rationalizations that tell us it's not so bad or whatever is going on, and it holds it stuck in the system. So now even when the trauma threat is gone, my system still has the trauma energy inside of it. That's what it means to become traumatized. The reason that I want to share all this is because we are all living in trauma right now, but we don't need to become traumatized. If somebody does, that's okay. The point of this is not to shame anybody who does experience that. And if that happens, that person can get help. But the point is that I think it's very important, because the more we talk about this in a way that almost makes it sound like it's a guarantee that we will all be traumatized, the more that that will be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and the more that we will all become traumatized. And that doesn't need to happen. That does not need to be the case, because we can all allow the trauma response to take place within us and use all of it. We can take it and we can use it. We can mobilize it. The emuna is very important. The faith in God is very important. And looking at the positive and seeing all the positive things, all of that is very, very important. But all of that is up here in the prefrontal cortex. What we need, it's in the top of the brain. What we also need is to allow the energy and the activation that gets produced in the fight-flight response from the back of our brain, from the reptilian brain, the animal part of our brain, that needs to get used up. It needs to get expressed. It needs to be used into a call for action. We need to allow ourselves to express that. How can we do that? I think there's two ways to do that. Number one is allowing the sensations in our body to take place, acknowledging the feelings, the sensations, both emotionally and, even more importantly, physiologically. Notice tightness in your body. Notice heaviness in your body. Pay attention to it. I would point you, this is another piece that would need to be addressed, how to exactly to allow that discharge to happen of those sensations. I'll point you towards a resource called Emotion Aid by Gina Ross. If you just Google that, you'll find that in English and Hebrew for adults, for children. It's a very good resource for how to work with those sensations. The second thing is to allow the fight-flight response. Most of us can't fight, and most of us don't have something that we can flee from right now. But we can use it by mobilizing ourselves into action, by doing as much as we possibly can, financially, spiritually, materially, acts of kindness, reaching out to others, doing small things, doing as many things as we can. When we do that, all that activation that's being produced is being used. And all of us living in trauma, when we do that, do not need to become traumatized. We are so resilient. We are part of something so much bigger and broader than ourselves, something so incredible. And all of that allows us to be able to take this experience and allow it to be a trauma that does not have to turn into traumatization. And be careful in the way that we're talking about that, because there is so much hope. There is so much possibility. We can take all of that fight flight response and use it to add more light and more light and more light, and take that mobilization and that activation. It does not need to get stuck in our body. And anyone who's feeling helpless or hopeless, find a way to do something. Find a way to come out of the freeze response. Because the traumatization instead of the trauma, the becoming traumatized is what happens when we go into the freeze response. We want to allow ourselves to have the energy of the fight-flight response, which again does not need to mean that we're fighting or that we're fleeing. We can take that energy and use it for good, use it to add more light, use it to think of every single possible way that you can be helpful in the situation. If it's writing letters, if it's organizing something, if it's getting people together to learn, to hold each other, to care about each other, to make more phone calls, to reach out to soldiers, to donate more money, to create more campaigns or more causes, or any of the myriad of things that Klal Yisrael are putting together in the most incredible way. Be part of that. That's how the energy that Hashem gave us, that when we have a trauma, that energy comes in our body for a reason. We need to use it, and through that, we can come out the other side. Ki b'simcha teitzeyu. God willing, very soon, we should have b'soros tovos, all of us coming out with yeshuas v'neflos that are beyond our wildest imagination. So much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please follow us on WhatsApp, YouTube, or Instagram. All our podcast series can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out with questions, comments, or suggestions, or to be added to our WhatsApp groups. You can reach us through email using yakov.attached@gmail.com or on WhatsApp at 773-888-2413.